Well, there's a lot of us out there. There's a lot of us who are working really hard to push back on the prevailing agenda to make things better than the vision that they have for us, which to me is just absolutely Orwellian. One of those people is Laura Woods. She's a candidate for Senate District 19. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here. So give our listeners an idea of where Senate District 19 is.
Senate District 19 covers the western half of Westminster, starts on Sheridan Boulevard, and runs all the way west to Indiana Street, although Indiana zigs in and out down Indiana. So I've got eastern Arvada and western Westminster, and it goes from 120th on the north to I-70 on the south.
Okay, and that's Evie Hudak's old district, isn't it?
It is Evie Hudak's former seat, yes.
Okay, so you've got her successor, her appointed successor, unelected,
yes,
as your opponent.
That's correct. And she was Evie Hudak's former campaign manager when Evie Hudak was running for this seat. Then she was handpicked by the Democrats to fill this seat. She's never been elected by the people, never won a primary, never had to go through an assembly process.
Right.
And she's been there one session. And
what has she done?
Oh, my gracious. What hasn't she done? I've been sitting here listening to your program, and the rebel in me is pacing around my home right now because, I get all fired up when we get talking about this kind of stuff.
Good.
So I can give you the four worst cases of Senator Zinzinger's unfair treatment of Colorado businesses.
Perfect.
Now, the legislature is not in business to pick winners and losers in business, but she took it upon herself with House Bill 1011. She gave $5 million to the Advanced Industry Economic Development Funding.
To the what?
Yeah. These bills have these names that if you think about, you read it, and you go, well, that doesn't sound so bad, and then you get into the details of these bills. House Bill 1017 is called Expand Availability of Affordable Housing.
Oh, great.
Sounds good, right?
Uh-huh.
She pledged $6.25 million to that. And then House Bill 1326, another $2.7 million to tax incentives for alternative fuel trucks. Again, picking winners and losers in business.
Right.
And then $7.5 million on Senate Bill 73, which was the Brownfield Contaminated Land Income Tax Credit Bill.
What is that?
You have to look at these and go, what are any of these?
Well, yeah.
But
yeah.
This was Senator Zinzinger's way to funnel money to her friends in green energy and construction in an attempt to buy their votes when November rolls around and we're in a general election.
Well, then it will be very interesting to watch how her campaign is funded.
Well, her campaign is going to be funded, we know, by big out-of-state money. Michael Bloomberg, George Soros, this money that flowed into Colorado for Amendment 66, against the recalls, against the school board elections that were going on here, and that's what her campaign is going to be funded by, as well as the unions that she's in the pocket of.
Right.
Yeah. And then the absolute worst thing she did, she sits on the Education Committee, and when the Moms Bill came up, Vicki Marble's bill to delay Common Core for just a year, that committee sat there and took testimony for 7 hours. Two of the committee members were in tears listening to the stories these moms and these experts were sharing. But Rachel Zinzinger said two words all day. She said present when they called roll in the morning, and she said no when asked if she would vote in favor of delaying Common Core for a year. And she just shoved it down the throats of the moms who
right.
were coming in there on behalf of their children and rebelling against what you have been talking about this afternoon, this liberal progressive agenda that, you know, I think it was Ronald Reagan who said, our well-meaning liberal friends, you know, yeah, they think they know better than us, but you know what? The constituents out here in Senate District 19, they're tired of hearing, you're not smart enough
right.
to make your own decisions.
Right. They want that choice.
They do want that choice about their light bulbs, about their toilets, about their health care, about their schools, and their kids, and the curriculum their children are taught. And there's so much that the government has taken upon themselves to remove from parents'
right.
rights. What are parents' rights? They've been almost abolished by this liberal agenda.
Well, it all goes back to choice. You know, I mean, these are your children. You get to choose how they're raised.
Yeah.
And you know, people like Zenzinger say, no, you don't get to choose how they're raised. We're going to tell you how they're going to be educated. We're going to tell you, you know, what your choices are.
That's right.
And we're going to tell you what the choice is.
The actual words, we can't trust parents with this decision, flowed out of the mouths of legislators this year over the, it's the vaccination issues.
We can't trust parents to make a decision about
their kids.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, I'd really like to swear right now, but I'm not going to. So, oh my goodness. And well, and this kind of thinking, it pervades everything, not just parents with children. It pervades, you know, how people get to protect themselves.
That's exactly right. Second Amendment. They want to talk about this war on women. It always just stuns me when the Democrats want to talk about a war on women, and then they turn around and disarm us.
Right.
Take those guns out of our hands.
Say,
that's
no.
The war on women.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They tell us that we can't defend ourselves.
That's right.
That they have to be the ones to defend us. And they tell us that we can't afford our own contraception. That they have to be the ones to provide it.
We can't pick our own health insurance. They have to tell us what's best for us.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and the cost is just going up. The cost of fuel, the cost of energy, health care, it's going up astronomically across the state. And more families and businesses are struggling. And
right.
Businesses in my district, there are storefront after storefront after storefront that is closed in Arvada and Westminster because they just can't make it in this Democrat-controlled economy.
Okay. You know, Laura, let's go to break just a little bit early. And when we come back, I'd like to hear what your solutions are to get those businesses back up and running and revitalize your district.
Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560, The Source.
We've got a wizard here. He can solve your problems.
You can keep your doctor. You can keep your plan.
From the filmmaker of Dreams from My Real Father.
Did Obama pay for your mortgage?
Utopia. It's the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what they believe.
What I call it is the urban removal project.
To remake the world as it should be.
Everybody who had been doing business legally wound up a criminal.
Come see the movie. There's no place like Utopia.
I need you to keep hoping.
Starts July 18 at UA Colorado Center by Dave and Buster's. Rated PG-13.
Smoker Friendly has Colorado's finest selection of premium cigars, tobacco cigarettes, and smoking accessories. At Smoker Friendly, you can enjoy a fine cigar in one of their six comfortable cigar lounges conveniently located throughout the Denver metro area. At Smoker Friendly, you will experience first-class service from their friendly and knowledgeable staff. So make Smoker Friendly your one-stop shop for all your tobacco needs.
Give your family a memorable movie experience and take them to visit a true part of American history. The 88 Drive-In is the only drive-in movie theater in the metro area. Only $8 per person and children under 12 are free. Admission includes all features showing that night. Visit 88drivein.com, like us on Facebook, and share the experience with your friends. The 88 Drive-In, located in Commerce City, the only drive-in movie theater in the metro area.
More information at 88drivein.com.
Independence Day weekend is great, but you and I know liberty is not free. It's not guaranteed. We have to learn, organize, and fight. This is Randy Corcoran. The next Arapaho Tea Party meeting is Tuesday, July 8th, 6:30 p.m. at the South Metro Fire Rescue Building in Centennial. Former Republican gubernatorial candidate Steve House will be there to show some fantastic new technology being developed right now that can change the future of our culture and our politics. And who better to talk to us about the Republican call for unity? What do we do now that the primaries are over? The Arapaho Tea Party, July 8th, 6:30 p.m., South Metro Fire Rescue Building. Find us on Facebook or Google The Arapaho Tea Party. I'm Randy Corcoran. Hope to see you there.
Another shot heard around the world on the source.
Well, I think Putin is playing chess, and I think we're playing marbles. And I don't think it's even close. So if you look at the nuclear negotiations, we got our fannies handed to us. They took tactical nukes out of the equation. Huge mistake, especially for our allies in the Baltics. In Syria, the Russians got everything that they needed. They believed they needed. And so they've been running circles around us, and I think it's really the naive position on the National Security Council and the president's advisors that if we just keep giving things to Russia, they'll finally wake up and say, boy, the United States isn't all that bad. That is completely missing the motivations of why Russia does what Russia does.
KLZ 560
and 560thesource.com.
It's great to be back on the air in Denver. I'm Jason Lewis. Tonight, after Grassroots Radio Colorado, stay tuned for the Jason Lewis Show with me, America's Mr. Right, right here on KLZ 560, The Source.
You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on the Colorado Conservative, KLZ 560, The Source.
Welcome back to Grassroots Radio. This is Chris Cook, and I have candidate for Senate District 19, Laura Woods, on the line. Laura, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Chris.
And, you know, I mean, we've been talking about some of the problems, and there are legion problems with your opponent. But, you know, I mean, let's talk solutions for a minute, because that's what really, you know, Grassroots Radio is about. I know that's what you're about, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, you've got sort of a depressed area up there. There's a lot of businesses closed. What are the solutions to revitalize Arvada and Westminster?
Well, and I think this is not just unique to Arvada and Westminster. I think we've got a depressed state in a lot of ways. But I think these are the ideas that many of the freedom fighters already in the Colorado General Assembly that I'm just looking to join and be another one of, you know, they're talking about some of these ideas. So first, we're going to push back against the agenda that we've been swallowing because we had to. We're going to push back and say no more. So one of my campaign aides said, I want you to start saying you're going to repeal 12 laws in your first session.
I like that.
one for every month of the calendar. And I think top on the list is going to be the business personal property tax. This is a tax levied against small businesses in Colorado, all businesses in Colorado. And as a business owner, I bought a desk in 1992 when we bought our business, and I have paid property tax on that desk every year for 24 years to the state of Colorado.
Oh, my goodness.
It's devastating to small businesses.
Right.
So I'm going to work to get rid of the business personal property tax and any other taxes and fees that have been implemented against Tabor without the vote of the people. Lobbied against businesses.
Okay.
And then we need to get out from under socialized medicine. The Colorado Health Insurance Exchange and Obamacare are pushing health insurance costs through the roof. We, in our own company, have experienced very high rate increases in our premiums and a lessening of the benefits, not as good of a plan as we've had before. And so we need to get out from under socialized medicine. We need to have a free market approach to health insurance. Colorado families ought to be able to cross the lines of the state and go buy health insurance wherever they can find it. If they find one in Costa Rica that works for their family, they should be allowed to buy it.
Exactly.
That free market will drive the cost down. And competition is good for an economy.
Yes.
And, you know, we need to look at every regulation that's been passed in recent years, perhaps the last two sessions specifically, go through those with a fine-toothed comb, because business and industry, retail, restaurants, manufacturing, we are all overregulated and overtaxed. We need to restore fracking and energy development across the state. There are such dramatic benefits to our state budget and to the citizens of Colorado if we have a vibrant use and development of fracking and deregulating of the oil and gas industry. So I will work to deregulate that industry specifically.
Fabulous. Okay.
And then there's one more. Senate Bill 252, the governor's renewable energy mandate for rural Colorado, is probably the single greatest detriment to small business in rural Colorado that's come out of the last two legislative sessions, and we need to undo that energy mandate for rural Colorado. I am from rural Colorado. You know, I grew up in Steamboat Springs, and so I understand how out in the across the mountains and on the eastern plains, we don't feel like we have a voice in Denver. But we, the rural Colorado counties, do have a voice in Denver. I know that the Freedom Fighters that I, you know, I've mentioned before. For Ted Harvey, Kevin Grantham, Scott Renfro, Kevin Lundberg, Vicki Marble, Lori Sane, Libby Szabo, this group of senators, and I haven't even mentioned them all,
right,
do remember rural Colorado, and we're going to stand up and fight back against the governor's energy mandate. I'm hoping our new governor will undo that himself.
That would be nice.
It would be nice. So these are just a few ideas that we've got to re-energize Colorado. Douglas County has been the poster child for how to bring businesses into your county that create jobs. And Colorado needs to just look at Dougco and go, what did they do and how did they do it with their education and with their job growth? They were number two in the nation on new job creation in Douglas County. And so we can learn a lot from the conservatives who've been in control in Douglas County.
Okay. I didn't realize that they were that high in job creation. That is amazing.
I heard the lieutenant governor who sits on the currently is on the county commission down there mention that at the Unity Tour when I met her. So I was excited to hear that as well.
Okay. Okay. Well, then that that definitely speaks well for Jill Rapella.
Yeah.
And for that ticket. So that's really interesting. I mean, this is really where your focus is on our economy and trying to get our economy back on track.
Yeah, my focus is on the economy, business, the government overreach, but also on education. I am so concerned about Common Core. And the prime concern I've got is the data mining that's going on within Common Core, but what those kids are being taught, what they're allowed to see as they move from one screen to the next, one link to the next in those computers is scary. It's wiping out parents' rights and students' rights and teachers' rights. We are hampering our best creative, unique, talented teachers with a Common Core curriculum that's just to stay in the box, don't think outside the box, don't be innovative or creative in any way, just do what you're told.
Right.
How could we ever expect teachers to thrive in that kind of a curriculum or students to become brilliant?
Well, exactly. You need that creativity and that latitude,
yes,
you know, to be able to react to that child that's in front of you and not be beholden to these standards and this curriculum that's being passed down basically from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's right.
So another piece that you've got on your website, I'm looking at your website, is Right to Work.
Uh-huh.
Talk to me about unions.
Well, my feeling about Right to Work and unions is that no one should have to join a union or belong to a union to get or to keep a job. In Jefferson County, you know, we've got the union going up against the school board on a regular basis out here. And clearly, they like to stand there on the street and tell you, it's for the children. It's for the children. Take a step back and look at this from the big picture. Can you really say that what you're doing is benefiting children?
Right. It's just
not
benefiting them.
It's benefiting them.
Right.
Yeah. But they're funding my opponent's campaign. I'm going to be outspent, but I can promise the voters of Senate District 19 I will not be outworked on this general election.
Yeah. We're talking to Laura Woods, who's a candidate for Senate District 19 in Northwest Denver. If you have any questions for Laura, give us a call, 303-477-5600. Laura, you do have credentials. I mean, you have amazing credentials as far as working. You work those recalls like a champ. and so you've got experience in going out there pounding the pavement and being really successful in making sure you basically pushed out Evie Hudak, that she she resigned.
That's exactly right. We worked the spring recall up here in Arvada of Evie Hudak, and then we made a strategic decision to stop that recall because we weren't going to win it. And the worst thing we could do was fail the recall.
Right.
So if we pulled back and said, oh, we're going to stop, then we could restart it later. And we had to start all over with signatures and whatnot, but we could start over later. If we would have lost the recall, it would have only emboldened Evie Hudak. And so we strategically decided to stop. Then I drove down to Pueblo. I helped with their recall. I met the Pueblo Freedom Fighters. Those guys are amazing.
Yes.
Victor Head and Adam, you know, they created that whole sort of scheme on how to do a recall, how to collect those signatures, and how to verify them before they go on the petition. It was genius what they did. And I loved working with the Pueblo people. You talk about grassroots, down to earth, just good people.
Right.
That's what I found when I went to Pueblo.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then we came back and started ours up here in the fall. So this primary season was my third time walking this district, and the general's going to be the fourth time. The people of Senate District 19, they know me. They're used to seeing me out here in the streets. Yeah. And, you know, I won the primary election by 11%.
Oh, my.
So it was a big, solid win.
Yes.
For Republicans. And I think Democrats everywhere are vulnerable because of their policies.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think, and you know, their ties to Obama and Obamacare and that progressive agenda that I was talking about.
Exactly.
You know, this a lot of people are waking up and saying, I'm going to push back on this. I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah, just don't tell me I'm not smart enough again.
Exactly. Well, Laura, how can people find you if they want to donate to your campaign or work for you? How do they find you?
Well, there's two ways. First of all, I want to invite everyone to a fundraiser we're doing tonight at the Hofbräu restaurant. They've moved onto the east side of Wadsworth, just north of 91st, and their address is 9110 or 9101 Wadsworth Parkway.
Okay.
And we're doing a fundraiser there at 7 o'clock. It's being hosted by Ted Harvey and the other senators and representatives from the General Assembly.
Oh, wonderful.
And, yeah, it's going to be great. So they could come there if they wanted to meet me face-to-face or donate in person. They also can go through my website, which is Laura Woods for Senate. For is spelled out FOR.org, LauraWoodsForSenate.org. And then they can like my Facebook page, follow me on Twitter from there. They can donate through my Facebook page or the website. It is a secure site to donate through.
Okay.
And the maximum amount that individuals can give to my campaign is $400 between the start and the general, so in November. If they've already done 200, they can only do 200 more. If they've done nothing, they can do the full 400 now.
Right. Well, and this early money is really, really important to campaigns. I think that's something a lot of people don't realize.
This early money will be multiplied 10 times over by the time we get to the general. And it will help people who are sort of sitting on the fence, wanting to know if I'm a legitimate candidate, get into the game.
Right.
I raised $46,000 and spent it on a primary election. So I raised that between January when we started and the primary in June. And so now we're back to fundraising. And again, yes, we need early money because it will motivate others to give as well.
Exactly. Exactly. To see that happening. And you know, money just, it's just necessary.
It is necessary.
For these elections. All right. Well, we will post a link, Laura, to your website on our Facebook page.
Thank you.
And make sure that all gets, you know, coordinated and people can come find it if they didn't get it the first time. And Laura, thank you so much for joining us here on Grassroots Radio. I am just, you know, we are obviously very much supporting you. Really, really, really want you to win. We only need one Senate seat.
That's exactly right.
We only need one.
Take back the Senate.
To take that back, and we've got to take it back. So thanks for joining us. Have a great time at your fundraiser this evening. I hope you raise lots of money.
Thank you.
And we will talk with you soon.
I'm looking forward to it, Chris.
You bet. Take care. So, These are the kinds of candidates that I'm talking about. These are the rebels. These are the ones who are pushing back. These are the ones who are taking that agenda, that progressive agenda, and there's only so much that we can do as grassroots. We can support candidates like this. We can go watch elections. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We can do a lot of things as citizens, but some of it is having legislators who are willing to push back against that agenda, to repeal the laws that have pushed this on us, and being able to push back on that. We will talk to another one of those candidates after the break.